We're the Two Pilates Chicks, and it is season 5, episode 4.
Yes.
Yes. And this is, well, it had a title, but it's like critical self-talk.
Yeah. Critical self-messages.
Mm-hmm. Not only as a teacher, but also when in our own practice.
Yeah.
We're going to hit on all of that.
And life.
And life.
The greater spectrum.
The greater good of everything. So, yeah, we all have it at some point.
Yeah.
And it's kind of navigating that, especially as a teacher, because I feel like it can really get into your teaching and into the clients and into your whole experience where the clients are kind of picking up on all of that.
Yeah. Because critical self-messages, critical self-talk, it really affects the teacher, like yourself day to day, and it becomes so heavy and exhausting because you just have all these negative messages.
And it can spiral, right?
Totally spiral. Yeah.
And we were talking about kind of critical self-talk and imposter syndrome because mm-hmm. it's possible that you don't have imposter syndrome, but you can have that critical self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about how it causes anxiety, which you kind of mentioned. It increases stress.
Definitely.
And then it reduces success because you're so in this negative spot, like you talked about. You're not going to be able to move forward or to be able to create more good in the teaching or whatever I'm wanting to say. And it limits your thinking because that's all you're kind of putting yourself in this little critical little box.
Yeah, it really limits thinking because you just get so self-absorbed, for lack of a better word, and kind of wrapped up in your own thinking of – I'm not enough this, I'm too that, I'm, you know, whatever the
message is. I don't know this, and they're all watching me, and they don't think I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And so that's a huge one, specifically for Pilates teachers, I think, of like, I'm not a good enough teacher, I don't know what I'm doing.
My clients know that I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. The other teachers in the space think I'm stupid, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, those are so common definitely for new teachers, but totally for everybody. Like, I have some of those to this day after teaching for how many years?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of your mindset for the day, right? Or you get that client that has this way of all of a sudden you're like, and it takes you into that area of like where maybe you haven't been in a while, but all of a sudden you're questioning
yourself. Yeah.
As a teacher.
Maybe a client has an issue you're not as comfortable dealing with, or you don't actually have an answer for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, oh, I don't know anything. And then it can spiral into that.
Spiral.
Which we've talked about in the past of like admitting when you don't know something, and that can make yourself actually feel better.
Can give you more confidence.
Yeah. Instead of having to be like, oh, I don't know. I can't.
Making something up.
Yeah.
I don't, because it. And then it goes into that whole, like you were talking about being in the studio as a teacher, especially like you could have been teaching for a long time and then you go to a new studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are teachers you don't know and you're not familiar with. And then you can fall into that again because maybe they do things different or they've all known each other forever and all of a sudden you're the new person.
Mm-hmm.
So comparing yourself to others can also set that up.
Comparing yourself is a huge one. That a lot of like psychology blogs and everyone will talk about that, like comparing ourselves to others is the number one thing to like that increases critical self-talk, and that just makes people miserable. And they're like, if you want to feel better, don't compare yourself to others.
Well, it's kind of like people that have like, I call it real jobs. They're like 9-to-5 jobs and they're real jobs. And meaning they have to go into an office, things like that. And then they like, you know, say, oh, well, so-and-so has this and this and this. And it's like, you're not going to, it's the same thing. It's like, you're your own person as a teacher. Everyone has their own style. Everyone has their own way.
Yeah.
And so it's learning to embrace that and not comparing yourself to the teacher that's next to you.
Yeah. And that's just so huge for really any, like you're saying, any job. But if we're talking specifically for Pilates teachers, like, yeah, we all have different schools of thought that we've come from. We all have different things that work for our own bodies and for different reasons than we use Pilates in different ways for our clients. And so, that messaging to ourselves, if you go to a new studio, like you're saying, and you see other people doing this in a different way or teaching things in a different way, and then you just start spiraling of, oh, yeah, I don't know anything.
I don't know.
But instead, like, a good way to combat that situation is, like, going into that new space. You're like, oh, I don't do it this way. And then learn from that and, like, pick up some new ideas.
Or maybe it's like, oh, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. Or I never thought of saying it that way. Or I never thought of, instead of feeling, oh, they're so much better. They do this.
They know so much more.
But also being, you know, realizing that we talked about a little bit before we came on and how the imposter syndrome and all this critical self-talk. And a lot of it comes from us thinking things have to be perfect, like that we have to be the perfect teacher, that our client has to do things perfectly, or we have to do things perfectly. But there is no perfection.
There's no such thing as perfection.
Mm-mm. Especially in Pilates.
Yeah.
When it comes to your own practice, too. There's no perfect.
Yeah.
It's just not an option.
Yeah, it is not an option.
It is not an option.
Yeah, perfectionism. I mean, and all these things go together, the imposter syndrome, critical self-talk, perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And people can be affected by one and not the others, or all of it together, which just creates a perfect
storm. Or it can go in different waves, you know? You're here, you're there, you're here, you're there.
And, I mean, perfectionism in Pilates and, like, really any sort of movement and art-based kind of a practice, it's so prevalent. Like, there's so much of
it. So much of it.
And we were talking about it's, you know, perfectionism affects teachers in terms of we're thinking like, oh, I'm not being a good enough teacher. Mm-hmm. But it also affects clients when they think like, oh, I'm not doing this exercise.
Right.
Yeah, good enough or perfect enough. And then it affects teachers in our own practice. Like, oh, am I...
Because we learn the exercise, right?
Yeah.
And this is what the exercise, but again, there's no perfect. So a lot of times, and you'll see, I love this when you see teachers working out, not us in our workouts, but, well, maybe us sometimes, but you can see the thing, okay, legs go, this goes, arms, yes, okay, this. And they're so into like
the process
that they're not just moving and experiencing, they're in that critical self-talk of, oh, this needs to be here, this has to be like this, I gotta do, oh, I didn't do that right.
Yeah.
So you're not being able, like we talked about, it reduces the success of your Pilates practice because you're kind of putting yourself in this little...
Limiting. It's actually like limiting your movement.
Exactly, which we don't want to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
I mean, and it's such a huge... thing, because once you get, like we're saying, you get into this little spiral of self-talk and you just get negative and then you can start to ruminate. And I mean, it can be like a period of time that you're dealing with it. It can be like just a bad day, or it can go for days on end or weeks. And then you just, it's exhausting.
It's exhausting. And also you have to think about it, because I really am one of those that believe in the energy in the space and you can feel that energy when someone is in that kind of like negative box of critical self-talk, and because it will spiral out into other ways of verbalizing to your client in ways that you may not be aware of because of that critical self-talk, but it is going to come out in a way that's not the best for those around that you're teaching.
Yeah. Which then, circle back around to more critical self-talk, is then other people get affected.
Exactly.
It's just a
It just spiral. Keeps going.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden everyone's like, I suck.
Which is not what we want, the energy we want to create in the space.
No. But like we were talking about, and did you remember the podcast? We did a whole podcast. It was like, you know, that you learn from your mistakes.
Right.
I don't remember the podcast.
I don't remember what number it was, but our past one of learning from your mistakes.
Makes you a better teacher.
Yeah.
Because you have to make mistakes to learn.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing that our clients do, right?
Yeah.
They have to, like, do something. They go, oh, I got it. This has to happen.
Yeah. Because as they're learning the movement, if they're starting to do something and then they're like, whoa, they get pulled this way.
Yeah.
And then they realize, oh, I have to push through this to get rebalanced in this way. So that mistake helped them learn the movement and embody it and, you know,
get it into their body.
Into the body.
Yeah.
And the same way with teaching, when we make mistakes, we learn. If you're like, you forgot to put a certain spring on. And they're like, oh, crap, that's, like, so many springs for that. And they're like, oh, oops. And, like, take it off.
There you go.
Then you remember next time.
And I think – and we kind of had some tips, but I also think, like, things I hear a lot, and this came up in the teacher training this weekend, is because we were talking about clients and this and as teachers. And it's funny because the one thing that came 100%, like every single one said the same thing is, am I doing this right? Am I doing this correctly? Mm-hmm. And it could be applied to your client with their workout, and then you as a teacher.
Yeah.
Am I giving this client what they need?
Yeah.
Am I doing the right things for this body? I don't know. You know, and it's like this whole, you know, but it is everyone feels this way.
Everyone feels that way at some point, if not a little bit, all the time, like always kind of second guessing oneself. And you know, and I go through this all the time in my own teaching, and I don't know that it's always a bad thing, because if it's a little bit of self-doubt where it's just enough to make you like
question things,
maybe I'll look that up, just make sure, or do a little more research, make sure I know this or that. Sometimes it just means we care and that we're interested in the work.
Because I feel like that's more like curiosity, and it's taking it more into like a moment.
Yeah.
Where the other, if you continued down that and went deeper, then it would become like, I'm just so.
Well, that I call going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah,
like you're
exactly.
Just like going down and down and down.
Down and down and down.
And people that deal with like actual like imposter syndrome, deal with that often, like all the time. And it's really hard to get out of that like downward negative spiral. And we were talking about earlier where like, there's actually a lot of really successful people that deal with imposter syndrome.
Like, we're talking movie kind of actors
that say,
musicians.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Where they're always like, oh yeah, I never think I know what I'm doing. And from the outside looking at them, you're like, what? That's crazy. They're so successful. They're so good at what they do, but they themselves don't feel that. And so that imposter syndrome is so common, with successful people. And I think that is what actually defines actual imposter syndrome versus just some critical self-talk is.
Yeah. Cause they like, actually are.
They are at a high level of achievement. And what one might call success, but then those people don't feel it internally that they are successful, or they're like, oh, well, I was just lucky, or I actually don't know anything, you know, and it just spirals into that critical self-talk.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it can just be exhausting.
It is exhausting. And it's exhausting to like, cause it wears you out. Oh yeah. Thank you. Did it do it? You're like, don't.
Like, let's not stop that.
I kind of put our notepad on the computer that our thing is recording.
Let's not stop
recording and have to start over. But we did think of some tips. To kind of go through when you're in these moments, and then we can elaborate on them. But one was like to notice when it happens.
That's like step one. It's like just
when is it happening that you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Being aware and being like cognizant enough to be like, I'm saying these negative things
to myself. And I think these tips can apply to all life.
Totally
life.
Yeah.
And then the second was to kind of change the active effort of that critical self-talk, which we kind of just – we picked an example. I can't remember what it was.
It was like saying instead of – if you're saying like, I don't know anything constantly, then – so number one, like acknowledging that I'm saying that to myself. Mm-hmm. And then number two, changing the effort of that. So then like consciously saying, okay, I'm saying I don't know anything. Now I'm going to change it to say, I'm feeling like I don't know anything. And maybe that's because I'm afraid I am not a good enough teacher or something like that.
Something that kind of takes that, like, you're stupid kind of out of it.
Yeah.
You don't know anything.
You're not labeling yourself.
Exactly.
You're analyzing the thoughts behind it.
Yeah. And this kind of feeds into the third one, which is kind of reframing that observation in kind of a friendly, positive way, or like shifting your perspective on that. And, you know, okay, I'm going to like go research this. I'm going to learn what this is that I feel like is missing for me or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's a positive, forward moving.
Changing it to be like what we were saying, like it turns into curiosity, maybe. Like, okay, yeah. Maybe I feel like I don't know anything because I saw this teacher teach in that way. So maybe I actually want to learn more about that. Mm-hmm. And so then I'll go look it up or ask that person questions or change it into a positive effort.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, and I love this one, both of us went, yes, was thoughts are not facts.
Yes. Yep.
So simple.
It's very simple. And somehow it's still really hard to remember.
It is.
But it is very true. Like, and that can, that's a huge one for people. If people deal with like depression, those intrusive thoughts, it's like thoughts are not facts. Mm-hmm. And just remembering that even if you're still having those thoughts, but
it's not a fact.
It's not a fact. It doesn't mean whatever that thought is going to happen or that it's likely to happen or that it's true.
Yeah. And I think also with that critical self-talk, because we talked about it, like when you are, when you're in your life and maybe you're, like you're at the studio, right? You're getting out of the car and you've got all your stuff and whatever, and you, the door whacks you and you're like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. I can't get it. That is right there setting up again that critical self-talk.
The whole chain of events.
The whole chain of events that somehow we've, it's a good thing to practice and think about, okay, wait a minute. I'm just in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
You open the door too fast or whatever it is instead of like, I'm so stupid that I
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and those like smaller moments like that, I think are easier to navigate around. And then the like more layered issues of like every day you're in the studio with other people and you're constantly saying to yourself, maybe unconsciously at first, like you don't even know you're telling yourself.
Right.
Like, everybody's better than me. I'm not a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so maybe that's been happening for like days and days and sessions on end. And then you finally like realize like, oh, I'm telling myself I'm a bad teacher, but it's like, it's been there for so long. It's really hard to come out of that.
Yeah. Because it's a behavior. It's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of in your, like we talked about, it seeps into your being. It seeps into your wiring.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to rewire it.
You start to believe it. You start to really take that on as part of an identity. Mm-hmm. And it can take a lot to not only just become conscious of it, but then to try to start to change that thought pattern. And maybe some days it'll feel better and you have some really great sessions. You're like, I feel good. Like, I'm feeling good about, you know, work and like sessions and whatever. And then there's other days where you just like feel kind of funky again about it. And it's like, it's a back and forth.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of just like we talked about with kind of like noticing when it happens and kind of going, okay, here's this moment.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to like navigate through this?
Yeah.
I just think it's going to happen no matter how long you've been teaching, or if you look at it as practicing Pilates, it's just always going to be something that can creep in.
Yeah. And, you know, I've noticed, like, in my career, when I've had these, like, cycles of self-doubt and imposter syndrome, like, a client will randomly say, you know, you're just so great. I really
like how you do this and that. Isn't that funny? It's like you put it out in their energy or something.
Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
It's nice to get some of that feedback. Now, that won't always happen. You can't rely on that to be what gets you out of a spiral. But it's nice when that happens.
But it's nice when it happens. And it's also like when those moments happen is to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And take – because you know how like when you give someone a compliment and they're like, oh, no, I'm blah, blah. And then they take it and they twist it into a negative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like hearing that and actually taking it in for what it is and not going, oh, that's nice, but I blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like actually taking the compliment. You know what I did last year, I think it was? I started, because I was going through that also. I was like, oh, I don't know anything. Da-da. And I started, anytime a client would give me a compliment about my teaching or something they appreciated about what I do for them, I would remember it and then write it down at the end of their session. And so I made this little like notebook for myself where I just wrote down all the different things that client said that made me feel good.
Yeah.
So then when I go through another like imposter syndrome spiral, I try to look back at that.
It's like journaling.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing where you're like, you look back, you're like, oh yeah, all these people said all these nice things.
Yeah. My husband says, he's like, you know, you make a difference every day.
Mm-hmm.
like, you know, he feels like he goes in and it's not really like he's just doing his thing, whatever. But we're actually, as teachers, Pilates teachers, we're affecting people's movement. We're affecting their pain. We're affecting their mind, their mental, daily life. So, I mean, if you just look at that right there.
That's huge.
It's huge.
And it's easy to forget that.
It's easy to forget that.
You know, and get kind of pulled away from that, especially when we're in like the Pilates world and this person does that and this person says this. And, you know, all the like critical, not self-talk, but critical stuff in like
in that,
among other people. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, well, again, like this person knows that. Oh, why don't I know that? Da, da, da. And you just get into all of it. And it's like, if you take that all away and you're like, look, we're affecting people. We're helping people.
In a really substantial way. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I think it's the same thing like you said. It's like you can have that day where you're like, oh my gosh. And then your client's like, I always feel better when I leave. Thank you so much for what you do for me.
Yep.
And it's like, that's right there. It's like how, you know, no matter what, we've got to try to remember that.
Yeah.
Especially in those moments where like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, and that's huge because, yeah, like we're saying, it's so easy to forget that in the day-to-day.
It's so easy. It's kind of like, especially if they don't, well, they're not going to. It's like, we're not going to get those texts every day. We're not going to get those emails every day.
No.
So it's easy to forget, especially if you've been in the studio all day long and you're tired and you haven't eaten or whatever and you're like, oh my gosh.
And somebody says something annoying.
Yeah. Which happens, but I think it's really important to kind of think about this imposter syndrome or critical self-talk and what it does to our bodies as teachers, causing us stress, causing us anxiety.
It adds that extra stress where it's like if you're in the studio teaching all day, you know, it's tiring.
It's tiring.
Even if you like what you do, it's tiring. But then when you can go home and rest, you're still having this like loop of critical self-talk. Mm-hmm. And so you're not resting.
Exactly.
It's very depleting. So you never really have that like replenishing, rejuvenating
recharge,
time.
Kind of zen breathing. Yeah, that's so true.
And it affects the body and it's
over time
heavy in the body. It puts your nervous system on that like
high alert
state, which there's a lot of research coming out about that, like the vagus nerve and how to like calm it down. And we're all on like constant fight or flight on our phones and everything.
Don't even get me started on that.
So it's like if we're like adding to that on ourselves, you know, and we're just keeping ourselves at this high stress level.
Yeah. And I think one thing also to think about, and this is kind of like off on a vein, and then we'll get to our sponsors. But like you just talked about social media and this and that in the world, and you can also get saturated in the negativity of social media or the news or whatever it is and all the stories coming out that then affect you in that way you're talking about, which makes that then that critical self-talk maybe becomes an easier thing because you're already in this place of...
You're already primed for the negative thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. And that's part of like self-care and like getting out of these critical negative spirals. It's like maybe putting the phone down for a little bit.
Let's do that. That's
putting
a
timer
idea.
On the social media apps. Maybe you notice like you're really like more stressed and negative if you start the day with the news. Mm-hmm. Like so maybe wait for later.
How do people start with the news? I don't know how I would start my day.
That like self-care that we all just need to do. And I mean, and as teachers, we need to remember we're helping others. We're taking care of others. So we need to take care of ourselves. To be able to take care of others.
What was that quote we had? We have to put on the...
Put on your own oxygen mask first before you help others.
Yes. I love that quote. But I think, So I just think it's something to realize every single teacher, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Even if you've been teaching forever, it's still going to happen.
I deal with it constantly.
Yeah. It's just part of, I think, being human too.
Yeah. Being a caring human. But I think the biggest thing that I really liked here was thoughts aren't facts.
Yep.
And just remembering
I feel like that's
that,
going to be our quote for this. That could be our quote.
I mean, just remembering that can really help to, like, de-spiral the critical thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a fact that, you know, it's like, oh my God, I don't know anything. That is not a fact.
Yeah.
It's just a thought.
It's just a thought. And thoughts are fleeting. Yeah. Ideally.
Thoughts are fleeting. Yeah. But, oh, who's our sponsor again this week?
Our sponsor is the Two Pilates Chicks.
Yay!
May workshop.
Our spring workshop, May 18th, mm-hmm. from 10 to 2 mm-hmm. Pacific time. And come to LA. If you're not in LA, you can contact us because mm-hmm. we'll be doing a deal for you guys. But you can book it on our website, mm-hmm. www.pilateschicks.com.
And follow us on Instagram at Two Pilates Chicks for daily updates mm-hmm. and easy access to send us messages.
Yeah. Yeah. Yay. So Yay. Hopefully we'll see people. May is a good time to come to LA.
It's beautiful.
Oh, we didn't even talk about what the shop is.
Oh, well, that's okay, because we've put stuff out.
Yeah, check our Instagram. But yes, if you're interested in kind of
some CECs available.
Four CECs. Yes. That's it. That's good. Yay. So thanks for listening. And just try to remember, thoughts are not facts.
I feel like take care of yourselves.
Yes. And everyone.
and each other.
And each other. Bye, guys.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.